Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We're doing our AFC preview, so buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. You believe it, Miracle?
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. History final. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, because they're free. So 271 coming hot at you guys. And so 270, and I'm flanked on my left and on my right by nobody, because I'm in Austin. Nick's in Austin, and Toss is in the studio manning sound today valiantly. And we hope that our AFC preview can be as good as your in-the-water splash. Toss, that was an all-time.
That was Curry-esque splash right there.
I feel like people don't know that when the in-the-water – splash is done by Toss, our Foley artist.
Really?
Nick is a 7 out of 10 impression of everyone he tries. I'm a 7 out of 10 Foley artist, I guess.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Like, and random sound tidbits. Yeah, Josh is just a 7 out of 10.
Overall, that's not bad, honestly, if you consider, like,
C's passing grade. C is a passing grade.
C's get degrees, as somebody said in our fantasy football draft last night, which we could quickly, like, because I feel like the AFC preview is going to go kind of quick, because we, instead of all of us sitting here debating over each team, because you could kind of get on two teams that long. Nick's doing the West, I'm doing the East. Toss has got the North, and we're kind of divvying up the South division a little bit. But we get into our fantasy draft. We're all in one together. Me and Toss are on a team. Nick has his own team. We put the poll up, who's got the better team. I think, Nick, you're winning, but it's close. And
then I do have a better team.
Nick was
I put the results in Rate My Team. It's like the footballguys.com, and it'll
Do
like a little analyze. Yeah, whatever, man. I mean, it gave me the A rating. So
we got an A minus rating. So I think having McCaffrey on your team, a guy like that, is just, we spoke about it, it's just so huge. Just that guy you can kind of lock in on. But we had one guy and the new guy in the league, who was trying to be funny guy towards the end of the draft. And he hit us with the C's get degrees after his draft was being given a C. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm all for it, but he took Kaepernick in like round 15 out of 19. There were still good guys on the board.
He took another backup quarterback after he took Kaepernick. So, I mean, the Kaepernick pick, is there's nothing wrong with that, but you got to do it with the last pick in your draft. You got to do it in the last round. Look, this is a league where we have – break down what we have on each roster, Josh, because it's a massive roster.
2 QBs, 2 running backs, 3 wide receivers, 1 tight end, 2 flex, 1 kicker, one defense and like seven bench spots.
Right. All that to say, you're playing a lot of guys. So every pick in this draft.
10 team league, though, by the way.
10 team league.
10, yeah.
But every pick mattered in this draft. Like your bench players mattered a lot.
Last year, I didn't prioritize the quarterbacks enough. And so this year, I definitely put like some emphasis on taking the right guys.
You had a great first three rounds. All of us, because Nick was in Austin already, so the other guys that were drafting in the same room, after you hit it on the back end with a Tyreek Hill, Deshaun Watson pick, all the guys in the room were like, wow, fairly good start. Plus McCaffrey, obviously, at the 1-1.
Yeah, that was great. I was so pissed that Michael Thomas fell to you guys. I was like, someone better take him besides them. Someone's got to take him, and no one took him. You guys got them at 9. It's crazy.
Yeah, we were debating on whether to go because it's a 2QB league. We thought the guy – we were in the 9th out of 10th.
You knew they were going to take Lamar, huh?
We thought they were going to take both of them.
We didn't think Mahomes was going to fall to us at 2-2, at second round, second pick. But we were glad they were considering doing.
If I had that pick, I would have done the same thing. I would have done Lamar and Mahomes.
You would have doubled up on the QBs?
Yeah.
Hunter, fuck it. I'm so with you. Because if we did that, we would have doubled up. We would have A, done that, B, maybe caused a scare. And C, we came on the background in a 10-person league and still got Galladay and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah, I mean, there was some argument about, like, you can't pick both of them because there are so many other roster spots to fill. But my counter-argument to that is if two of the guys you just picked are top five fantasy players in the league, then that argument is null. Who cares if they're both quarterbacks?
The other thing is that, like, okay, if you're taking Lamar at 9 and Mahomes at 10, then the rest of the league kind of goes in a frenzy and starts taking quarterbacks in the second round. So there's guys going to be available in the later rounds for you. Like Dak and Deshaun and Kyler all probably go in the second round as well if you're taking the top two guys.
Right.
I'm also a big fan of best available. And we had another guy in our – we had another kid in our draft. Another kid, I guess he's a man now, 25.
We had another guy. All grown up.
I know, little man's all grown up. We had another guy in our draft, and I really respected the strategy. And you did the same thing, Nick, to a point, and so did we. Best available. The best, whoever you think the best, at least for the first four rounds, whoever you think the best available guy is, not worrying about position, that's who you take. And he did that. He took four running backs, but he walked out of the first four rounds with Aaron Jones, Josh Jacobs, Chris Carson, and somebody else. I'm blanking on it now. But he had four good running backs.
Yeah, when we're looking at his roster, we were like, his third and fourth running backs could outperform his number one and number two running backs, which is pretty impressive. Nick, I just loved the Tyreek Hill at round three, pick one. That's a great pick.
Yeah, I mean, I was getting really excited because at one point, Julio was still there, Devontae Adams was still there, Tyreek Hill was still there, Galladay was still there. So I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have at least one of these guys.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Tyreek Hill ends the season as wide receiver one. Like he has the potential to do that with his scoring ability.
Yeah, if he stays
healthy.
Yeah. Miles Sanders was the fourth guy. So Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs, Aaron.
Miles Sanders fell to the fifth round in our draft.
Yeah.
Fourth, fifth. I mean, because I don't think guys – I think people are weary of him, which I hate. He was my keeper in my other league. And I'll admit, like, currently I'm trying to trade him for Josh Jacobs.
I'm weary of him just because he's coming into the season injured, and the injury is a hamstring, which that can linger for a long time.
Yeah, I agree. I had my other draft yesterday that I thought went really well. Nick, did I send you my team?
Not yet.
I'll send it to you later. I was pretty happy with it. But yeah, Miles Sanders thing scares me. But my point being, he went for all those four running backs and kind of let the board fall to him, and he ended up getting Lockett and Jarvis Landry too, which like you really.
Which Jarvis Landry is in over the last six seasons, his only six seasons in the NFL, has only dropped beneath 1,000 yards twice, and they were both like 980 and like 967. Jarvis Landry is a 1,000-yard receiver.
I actually think he has like maybe the best. He's maybe the best team in the league. His quarterbacks are like iffy with Daniel Jones and Big Ben, but Allen Robinson, Jarvis Landry, and Tyler Lockett are a really good receiver trio. Plus, those four running backs are nuts.
He's got a good team. He's got a good. Nick, you ended up with Odell, didn't you?
No,
you didn't. Someone did.
My receivers are Tyreek Hill, AJ Brown, T.Y. Hilton, Sterling Shepard, Deebo Samuel.
Yeah. I like him.
Justin Jefferson.
Some good depth there in case one of them doesn't, T.Y. like gets hurt or something like that, you know, or AJ's not getting the targets, you know, you have those Debo like could get involved in the running game, right? They love that jet sweep with him. He scored multiple touchdowns doing that last year. I think he'll be he'll be even better this year than he was. I like that. It's good depth.
I like the Le'Veon pick too, by the way. We were all like, damn, we all wanted him.
Have him in all three of my leagues. He's the only consistent guy to have him all three.
That's intense.
You're pretty ride or die with Le'Veon. You always have.
He's your favorite player, Nick.
He's my guy.
Speaking of my guys, let's get into it. Let's do it. I'm going to do the AFC East. Then we'll kick it to Toss. Then we'll split up the South. And then, Nick, you'll close with the West. Cool?
Yeah.
So we'll just give records and then give our takes on each of the team. If anyone wants to give any pushback at any point or kind of discuss things further, door's always open because it's episode 271. And at this point, book's out the window. Cool. Here's how I have it ranked in the division. I have the Bills at 10-6. And it's like, to me, it's always plus or minus one. Patriots at 9-7. And then I have the Dolphins at 5-11. And I have the Jets at 4-12. Does that seem kind of fair to you guys?
I think.
What was the Dolphins again?
5-11. I think they might be better than that.
Yeah, I do too. I think they get 7 wins.
I also think the Jets could get less than 4 wins.
I think I gave the Jets the benefit of the doubt, and I dumbed down the Dolphins one. If I were to go plus or minus, I would minus the Jets one and plus the Dolphins one. So I do agree with you guys. I just think getting 7 wins if you're the Dolphins is tough. I mean, you're out of conference games if you're the Dolphins with the Seahawks, the Niners. You're at Denver, and you're against the Chiefs. You have the Chiefs.
It's tough. That's tough.
You're at Arizona, and I think the Arizona situation is – look, I'm not going to say Arizona's going to come out and hit a home. Everyone's, like, in on the Buccaneers being that team that just gets over the hump with the addition of Brady. To me, if there's going to be a team in the NFC that surprises people and makes that next-level jump kind of how the Niners did, it's going to be the Cardinals. The only knock against the Cardinals is they had to play the Seahawks and the Niners, which I think are probably the second and third best team in the NFL.
That's fair. That's and the Rams are not to be slept on as well. Like they're not going to be good. They're not going to be the best team in that division. I can without a doubt say that. But they're going to give the Cardinals a tough run. You know, that's certainly a team that has been shown to game in, game out, can put up 40 plus points if they have to. They've done it before. Goff has gone for 500 yards multiple times. So.
Also, if you guys hear anything in the background, I'm a guest in somebody else's home for this show.
So I can't be quiet.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't be like the Nazi like I am in my own home. Someone called me a Nazi, and I couldn't even deny it. I am like the sound and air conditioner dictator in the house. Someone has to be. Someone has to be the bad guy, and I'm willing to be that person.
I think I read this somewhere that the Jets' second team beat the Jets starters in a scrimmage 27-0.
You were the most anti-Jets person, and it's kind of living with you. I kind of like, you know how sometimes people's opinions mold together. Like I'm very receptive of we're all receptive of each other's opinions, which is a fair thing. Living with Toss, he's very anti-Jets. I'm kind of a Darnold believer just because from having seen him play and been a fan of his at USC, I'm rooting for the guy. It's more of a heart versus head thing in that kind of situation.
Yeah.
But for the Jets, I mean, it just, first of all, the thing in the NFL is this, it's not even that your team is so bad, sans the Jaguars, the other teams are so good. Let's go at the top of the division here. You have to go to Buffalo. Buffalo, the additions they made on the front seven were phenomenal. They use their first round pick to go and get Diggs. You have John Brown, who's the number two, you have Cole Beasley, who's the number three. You need that number one receiver. You get Stephon Diggs, right? And utilize your first round pick on that. They kind of let the board fall to them. They get AJ Epenesa, who many people had a first round grade, and because he had a slow 40 time, he drops the second round. If you look at one of the best right tackles in the NFL, it's Orlando Brown out of OU, and he dropped the third round because he had a slow 40 time as well. The slow 40 time, honestly, especially for linemen, could kind of be bullshit. And if you have a guy like Epenesa who's fresh legs in, then you're meaning business right there. To me, even on defensive units, right, defensive backfields, and it's the reason I'm still kind of high on the Patriots because the Patriots' depth in defensive backfield is nice. The depth the Bills have in the front seven is phenomenal, and I think is a big reason that they're going to overtake New England finally. Now, if Buffalo comes in and they lose both times to the Patriots, I think they lose the division. They at least have to split with the Patriots. And it's something they haven't really been able to do for the longest of times. And I'm not ready to crown Buffalo like, okay, this team is here to compete with Baltimore, the Kansas City yet. Because as I've invested some stock in Josh Allen as a fantasy player, I'm not sold on him as the guy that can lead you to the Super Bowl. And their run game to me is not strong enough where you could kind of, you know, rest your laurels on that. And their offensive line.
I think for the run game, like, it's still something that's so uncertain just because Zach Moss hasn't done anything yet in the NFL. He's a rookie. And
I'm a fan.
You're a fan. That's
my boy. But like,
and Singletary, you know, he was a rookie last year. So we don't really know how it's going to shape up.
Mm-hmm. Listen, if you're Josh Allen and he's your quarterback, right? If you're the Bills, I mean, you have Josh Allen as your quarterback. Can he make the necessary jumps to where, yeah, cool, he's got a pretty deep ball. Yeah, he can throw at the length of the football field, but he's picking defenses apart because that's what Mahomes is doing. And I don't care what you say about Lamar's legs. That's what Lamar's doing. You have Big Ben back in the fall. That's what he's doing, right? There's a lot of quarterbacks who can do that in the AFC. And even if your defense kind of gets you to the playoffs and gets you that division win, can you really be a team that has Super Bowl aspirations? Like, are you really any better than the Texans are right now? And I don't know that's the case. New England just has too many question marks for me, and I'm going to put my bias away right now. Listen, we're in a weird circumstance. We don't have the normal offseason. So who returns the most players? Buffalo, you're adding Diggs. Receivers kind of fit in easiest, in my opinion, into schemes, right? Getting a new quarterback up to speed is kind of tough, especially with the way the New England runs the offense. Now, granted, New England's done the smart thing. They didn't utilize Damian Harris at all really last year. You have James White, you have Sony Michel, who had a completely down year. Speaking of fantasy, I don't even think he got drafted in our league. You have Rex Burkhead. New England's looking at Leonard Fournette. We cut Sanu, which makes me want to put my head through a goddamn wall after trading a second round pick for him. We're stocking up on the run game because we know that Stidham's not there, so he's not going to be the quarterback. And Cam has to be the quarterback, but he's not caught up yet enough in the offense, right? So they're going to rely heavily on the run game. It's just if New England's defense is close to what it was last year and the run game's rolling, and I'm confident the run game could really get going with Isaiah Wynn hopefully healthy finally, right? The loss of Marcus Cannon kind of sucks for the season. He has to sit out because of COVID. That's a major, major loss in the New England offensive line. But we get David Andrews back at center, which is huge. For the Patriots, though, if they're down, if they're playing from behind, gone are the days where you go, okay, we're down three with 2 minutes left, we're chilling. I think they're legitimately in trouble in those situations, right? So they can't.
I think
we're talking about Cam Newton's a former MVP.
I'm less concerned with them if they're down by a field goal at the end of the game. I'm more concerned with them if they're down 13 coming into the second half, because I think, you know, hopefully that's something that never happens.
Get into shootouts.
This is not a team that can get into shootouts. Not only, you know, another guy that's not playing is Matt Lacoste, right? He was probably going to be your starting tight end too, and that doesn't help. You guys drafted multiple tight ends, so you know that's not that big of a deal. But like, your weapons are limited, if not proven or unproven, right? N'Keal Harry was good last year in stints, but I want to see him take that next jump to potentially a number one receiver. Edelman is sure handed, and he's going to be himself. But outside of that, like, I'm not thrilled by the weapons that are presented for Cam Newton.
I'm comfortable with Bill running the defense, and I'll always be able to reside on that. And I think we could kind of, you know, make a play for the wild card spot because I think the AFC is weak.
Yeah.
Right? Or weaker than the NFC. It's less competitive.
Belichick said that Cam Newton is the hardest worker he's ever seen. That's crazy.
Yeah, you know what?
That's crazy.
Brad Pitt said Shia LaBeouf's the best actor he's ever been around when he was on set. Guys say shit like that all the time.
Yeah,
like,
but I mean, guys do say it all the time. Bill doesn't say that all the time. And I think it's cool to see whether it, you know, pans out into anything or matters at all. I mean, great, you're working hard. That's what you like to see. You like to see the leader of the team doing that. It's just cool to see Cam get that recognition when he didn't get the recognition he deserves from the rest of the league.
Pump for Cam, pump to have him. Let's get the run game going. Let's return it. Now, if we don't return the number one defense, let's return a top five defense. That way it gets 9-7. The Jets, I just don't understand the way – I don't know what it is about New York sports teams. They put this pedigree on themselves that they look at where they're from, and this could be such just a basic analysis, but honestly, it could kind of really just boil down to this. They look at it, says New York Jets, and they go, okay, we're New York. We have to make splashy moves. We have to run our team a certain way. And they just go out and just make haphazard free agent signings. The Trumaine Johnson deal didn't pan out. The Le'Veon Bell deal was nonsense. No offense to running backs, because there's a lot of really talented guys out there. But like, I just look at the Bengals deal right now, and I don't care how good Joe Mixon is. You can't convince me to put $12 million into a running back unless it's McCaffrey or Ezekiel Elliott. Like, really, outside of those guys, who am I putting $12 million into? It just doesn't rationalize to me. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think it's fair. Right? I do think that a lot of people have said that when Joe Mixon is healthy, he is really, really talented. And that, you know, a lot of people have said, like, well, what if it was Joe Mixon behind the Cowboys offensive line? Would we be seeing a similar type of statistical performance than Ezekiel Elliott puts up? Maybe. I don't know. It's a lot of money to shekel out, that's for sure.
It's a lot of money to shekel out for a running back position where there's running backs, unfortunately, are a dime a dozen. You build in it's a game of trenches, right? And the Jets, in their defense, like, they tried to make some moves in the trenches, but, like, throwing George Font, who's a journeyman offensive lineman, 30 mil over 3 years, I don't understand the people they put in place. They hang on to, they ran the Rex Ryan train too long. They didn't give Bowles enough time, I guess. I mean, he couldn't really get it going either. The Gase thing has been screwed from the jump. Like, it seems like nobody in the organization, or the fan base for that matter, really enjoys his presence.
Does he have the highest likelihood of any coach to get fired in the middle of the season?
I mean, yeah, and if it's only your second year, that's a disaster. And it's a disaster for Sam Darnold's development, too, if your coach – if you only get two seasons – if you get one season with one coach and two seasons with another coach. I mean, look what happened to Alex Smith. Alex Smith's not like Alex Smith wasn't talented in San Francisco at the beginning of his career. He went through, like, 8 different offensive coordinators from the jump. You need that level of consistency. How often do we spoke about it with Jason Campbell. We spoke about it with guys who played in the league. It's fit. It's consistency. It's, can you kind of get in the rhythm? And again, going back to my point of, like, hey, the Patriots, you know, may not be the Patriots of old. And it's not even because Tom Brady's not in the building. It's because they didn't have that offseason to get acclimated. The Dolphins, for, you know, don't have to rush Tua in. They have Fitzpatrick, who's been with the team, who's been with Preston Williams, who's been with Devontae Parker, right? He has that relationship. So if the Dolphins want to go out and be competitive, you know, maybe getting to those 6 or 7 wins because they have that continuity is better.
They also just have way more offensive weapons. I mean, I can pretty confidently say that Jameson Crowder is going to lead the Jets in receptions this year, which, look, Jameson Crowder is like a nice, like, third receiver to have as a security blanket. Like, I want him in the same position that the Bills have for Cole Beasley. I don't want him to be my number one receiver. They're just Darnold, and it's not like I'm not poo-pooing the Jets because I want to. I have no emotional stake in the matter at all. I want to see Darnold do well. I just don't foresee that happening for this current roster that they're putting out there.
No, they're like they're in a bad position. They really are.
And I mean, also, if Denzel Mims is healthy as well, if Denzel Mims is healthy, then
he's crutching into the season. Yeah, sure. Like,
he's healthy.
And same with Breshad Perriman, right? Like, he's hurt too. You replace Robbie Anderson, but you replace him with a guy who's hurt. I love Breshad Perriman. He lit it up last year, and I think he's a very talented guy, but he can't stay healthy. And if guys are, you know, they can't stay healthy, then they can't stay on the field. If they can't stay on the field, then they're not productive, obviously. And then it just makes Sam Darnold's job incredibly hard.
I'll get off my AFC East soapbox. But the last thing I'll say, if my job is dependent on how I do this season, kind of like it is with Gase and Jets front office, and I'm rolling in with those three guys, a rookie wide receiver who's hurt, a journeyman wide receiver, and a wide receiver who we all are in agreement is a number three. That's like my top three guys. You might as well just hang me.
And Chris Herndon's hurt too.
Over.
And Herndon's hurt too.
Always. Yeah. I mean, the Jets are in the way they handled the Leonard Williams situation, Jamal Adams, it's just no continuity. It's just trouble.
Yeah.
I like the Dolphins. I applaud the Dolphins for bringing in Van Noy, who I think Van Noy was a product of the system, honestly, because he was not good in Detroit. But I applaud them for going out and making the Byron Jones move. Xavien Howard's a very underrated player. I think Christian Wilkins can really be a force this season. I'm bought into him. And look, I think that offense isn't going to be it will be exciting. I don't think it's going to be excellent. You have a rookie left tackle, but I think it's going to be a step up. And I'm curious to see at what point they decide to bring in Tua. That's my big question. That's a big question mark for the Dolphins. The Dolphins are on the
If I was the Dolphins, I would try to not bring him in as long as I can.
Which I think Fitzpatrick has a lot of weapons. I mean, we were kind of bashing the Jets for their lack of weapons, and you already talked to it already. You know, Preston Williams is a good receiver. Devontae Parker, Josh, you and I love. And Nick, I think you're pretty high on him too, as far as like what his potential can be. Gesicki is a big play tight end, right? Yep. He really performed the back half of last year, and they're two running backs.
Albert Wilson's a nice slot as well.
Yeah. Albert Wilson. Yeah. He's a good slot. And they've got two running backs who have both taken starting jobs before and been successful at them. So
I still think they should quote unquote tank. If you're going to tank, you should tank this year and just commit to it, because you don't want to be picking outside the top 10, because there's too many guys sitting out. There's too much uncertainty in college football. It's a major lack of film going on. So outside of the guys who are pretty, like there's like 7 to 8 guys who are like the best 8 guys in the draft. Outside of that, it's going to be very fluid. And if you're the Dolphins and you're trying to take that next step up, not this year, but the following year, you don't want to fall in that range. That's the last thing I'll say on that.
Cool. That's the AFC North.
AFC East, AFC North to you, Toss.
Oh, yeah. My bad. AFC North to me, top of the division. The Ravens are going to win the division. They're not going to be 14-2. I have them at 12-4. I think, you know, this team doesn't lose much. They add J.K. Dobbins, which is just another guy that they can slot in at the running back position, and he can make things happen. Mark Ingram's still there. They lose Hurst, but, you know, they still have Mark Andrews, which is Lamar's go-to guy. And the defense, you know, it's basically the same that it was last year, and they even add some pieces. You know, they add Patrick Queen, who we all like, and I think that that's just a guy they can throw in there, and he'll be able to help out. I just don't see much happening changing things for the Ravens. I'll just go through the rest of the records that I have. I have the Steelers at 10-6, the Browns at 8-8, and the Bengies at 6-10. Any pushback on any of those from you guys?
I think maybe the Browns could be a bit. I'm hoping the Browns are better, but again, it's
9-7. I mean, they could. Yeah. Do you think they could? Could they win double digit games?
They could. I mean, anything. I thought the Niners were not going to be great this past year, and they went to the Super Bowl. So
I also don't know if the Bengals win that many games. I mean, just depending on how Joe Burrow plays, to be honest, we just don't know.
Yeah, obviously, but you know,
could easily be like a 4-win team.
Right. I'm high on Joe Burrow. Yeah, I'm high on his weapons. They just talked about they overpaid for Mixon, but he did get paid. He is happy now.
He's a great player. It's something against him.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a stigma against the position that I'm bought into.
I think finally, you know, AJ Green is looking healthy again. Tyler Boyd has had great rapport with Burrow and camp. They've got, you know, they've got T. Higgins who they can work in there too. Let's see what he can do.
Bernard,
yeah, I mean, this team has weapons on the offensive side. It's just, can their defense keep up? Who knows? But I think that they could just be an explosive offense and win some games that way. I think in the same way that the Dolphins.
Yeah, they're in the same boat. They'll be fun.
Yeah.
They'll be fun.
I think
stop the bleeding, though?
Probably not. And a team like the Browns, my only issue with them is the continuity.
Can they stop the bleeding?
They can't either. They can't either, I don't think. But they do have a dynamic playmaker who can take over games, and the Bengals don't have that on the defensive side. Which is something to say.
Miles Garrett's excellent.
He's excellent. I mean, the Browns at their best, like,
clearly
it's
clearly not
put a helmet in his hand too.
Nick,
I think, like, still think the same about the Browns offense? Like, if it's at its best, and you know, now they have a new offensive coordinator, if it's at its best, it's like it's dynamite on paper, but we have
not
to see it work out.
At what point? I'm looking at the Browns, like, if you take away the quarterback and the offensive line and you just go Jarvis, Chubb, Kareem, Odell, and Hooper, I really don't think it gets more talented than that.
And
from a skill position.
And Njoku's still there.
He's there as well. And you got, I am, as growing up a Patriots fan, two tight end set. I mean, you don't have to sell me on that at all. And Donovan Peoples-Jones in the sixth round was a steal.
And they got Conklin and Wills. So let's use them and let's see how good they can be for Baker, because he needs more time.
I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt, because I think outside of Garrett, their front seven is decent, not great. I think their defensive backfield took a major hit. Now, I don't think they should be reliant on Grant Delpit because he's a rookie. But I think outside of Denzel Ward, there's some questions in the defensive backfield. That's a bad situation to be in when you play a team like the Steelers, who, by the way, could be the best defensive team in football. And not only have Juju Smith-Schuster, but they have Deontay Johnson, who's a speeder and a burner. And they have James Washington, who's a playmaker. And they have Big Ben back, who can really just pick you apart and air it out and beat you in the passing game, make you pay, and make you try to play catch up. It's can they be that competitive? Can Baker play mistake-free football? And in a situation where the continuity with the new head coach, I don't know.
Yeah. And Big Ben coming back, I mean, I think – I'm always high on them. I don't think that there's a year where it comes by where I'm not high on the Steelers as kind of like a dark horse. Not that they should be a dark horse, because it's been a good franchise for a long ass time.
I could see them in the AFC Championship this year against the Chiefs. Really could.
Yeah, I mean, if Ben stays healthy, and you know, it's just such a difference maker for that team, because we were watching Mason Rudolph and Dev Hodges, Hodges play last year.
Such a different team.
Those are both.
Close, and they were close too.
Yeah. And they were competitive. They were 8-8 last year. So I don't see how they can't be better.
Like Minka and TJ Watt. Like, I mean, that's a good defense that they got down there. But Dupree, I mean, it's just
not as good as Stout D. I just don't think they're as like, look, the Ravens are dynamic on offense, and they were so talented enough across the board that they were allotted and rewarded with the opportunity to take whoever they felt was the best player available. And that's why you're able to go out and get a guy like J.K. Dobbins, who's an uber talent, and you could ease him in behind Mark Ingram. A guy like Devin Duvernay, who we love big time. They go out and get Calais Campbell for dog shit. They have to cut Earl Thomas, but honestly, with Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters back there, they have one of the best cornerback duos in the sport.
They do.
So the Ravens and the Steelers, can the Browns go eat? Can they go 1-1 off those teams? They may go 0-4.
Right. Yeah, and I think
can the Steelers pick up a win against Baltimore?
Right.
They have to.
And Roethlisberger and Tomlin obviously have been together for a long time, but because Roethlisberger was hurt last year, as far as like continuity goes, there's the scheme and the system of the Ravens and how their offense operates. Nothing is really changing. They've just added pieces. And Roethlisberger hasn't really thrown with Deontay Johnson. He was successful with Mason Rudolph on one play every single game, right? And he had like three touchdowns for each was like a 50-yard catch. But it still has to be replicated, and Roethlisberger might not even – like Deontay Johnson could drop to like the fourth receiver on their depth chart like that. Because that's the way it works with Ben Roethlisberger at the helm. And I think their running game is still like – I still have a few questions. You like it?
Yeah, I mean, I think James Conner saw it. I mean
– I think they should Benny go after Fournette, nice though.
I think so too. Steelers, I don't love Benny Snell.
Go Fournette.
I don't love Benny Snell behind Conner, and obviously Conner runs in such a way where he is often hurt.
He's vulnerable, yeah.
Very vulnerable. So yeah, I agree, Josh. I think
is that
Fournette
crazy?
Would. No, I think I think Fournette fits pretty well there.
I think they have fits better.
Yeah,
oh, but he's. I think they're gonna sign. I think they're gonna make the deal. I think they're gonna sign Kamara.
I agree.
I don't think he's leaving.
Unless
you think he's gone, Nick.
Oh, you mean the Saints are gonna sign Kamara?
I think they are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, that organization and that fan base love him. He's a fun player to have around. It's not even just like a football.
The vibe
thing. It's a vibe thing. It's like a business decision. It's a marketing tactic as well. So, I mean.
I've heard that they won't, if they don't get a first.
I completely agree with you.
I've heard if they don't get a first that they're not going to give him up. And I don't see anyone right at this point in time, like dishing a first right now. Like it's bizarre. It'd be bizarre.
You're talking about a guy who like sells a ton of jerseys, you know, people are always so about it in the fans and in the stands and all that. Like I think he's just a really, really successful guy in that market. That's just it's him, you know.
New Orleans
is Kamara.
Who can give a first, though, but kind of to go circle back to the point I was making before? First of all, Nick, I completely agree with you. It's an interesting take, but a vibe of a city is completely important. I think Kamara embodies that perfectly from the time I've spent in New Orleans. I don't remember much, but I remember it being kind of like a swaggy city. But circling back to it, who can give up a first-round pick for a running back, a team that's ready to compete now? A team that's ready to compete now is usually picking at the back end of the first round. And like I said before, do you want to be is that a valuable pick with this much uncertainty this upcoming draft class? If you're not picking in the top 10, I don't need to go and make that play for a first.
And with a clock on Drew Brees too. It's like how long is he really going to be there, right?
Yeah, exactly. You got to make that win now move. But we'll say that. So I think we're in agreement on the North though. It just Lamar. Yeah, he's got to do it again. And he's got to just improve a little bit as a passer, be a little more dangerous as a passer. He's kind of got to go the Russell Wilson route where he continues to – Russell Wilson exponentially grew as a passer. I think Lamar has the talent and the drive and the ability to do the same. It's can he do it though? Can he touch 4,000 yards in the air? If he can touch 4,000 yards in the air, he's going to win MVP again.
Yeah, I mean I think that it's kind of a similar career progression – As to Luka. I know we keep like cross comparing like Fernando Tatis to Luka, and now I'm bringing his name up again. But I think this year Luka went to the playoffs, made the playoffs, played a tough team, lost. Like that's the expectation, right? It's your second year in the league. Same thing happened to Lamar next year, and now it becomes like you're gonna do what you need to do to get that to secure that number one spot in the division, and then what do we do time, you know, when the playoffs come around? And that's where people are gonna be looking at him. And I think the adjustments in the passing game are going to make him that much more of a threat when it comes down to playing for one game to progress you to the next round of the playoffs. It's going to be huge because they're going to make him do that, right? They know every team knows that if you're playing Lamar Jackson, he's going to get his on the ground because he always does. But make him beat you in the air. And I think didn't he throw two interceptions against the Titans when they played?
Yeah, picked off twice.
Yeah,
they made him beat him in the air. He's got to make that improvement.
Or who was it? The Titans that played?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
The Titans.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the West. We'll close with the South because we're splitting that up, and that division sucks, honestly. Nick, the West, man. What do you got?
So Chiefs, the reigning Super Bowl champs, have them at 13-3. I wanted to give them 14-2 because I think they're going to be dominant this year, but that's still tough. I mean. I think
it's pretty fair. 14 is a lot of wins, man.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be looking to, you know, be the first team to go back-to-back since the Patriots did in 2004-05. It doesn't happen very often, so we'll see what happens. But this is a team that I really think can. I mean, I think it was 2004-05.
We're 2004. 2001, 2003, 2004.
Okay.
Josh, we know Josh he's stingy about his Patriots, obviously.
I read that on NFL.com, so they have it wrong.
Oh, NFL.com. What the heck?
Yeah, what the heck?
What the heck?
Anyway.
So 13-3, that would be the best team in the AFC. Potentially.
I have them as they're the Super Bowl favorite. I mean, I think that they have a legit shot at doing it again. I mean, they return 11 guys on offense, which is crazy. You know, they add a guy on offense in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you know, competing for that starting position with Damian Williams, which he's going to win, obviously. I mean, he's getting selected in the second round in some fantasy drafts. He got selected in the first round.
Fourth pick of the draft. Fourth pick of the draft last night that we were in together.
Yeah, exactly. So it's pretty wild that, you know, a guy like that might be turning some heads on that offense. But, I mean – they've just got endless weapons there, you know, and they have no shortage at all of firepower. They just extended Andy Reid as well, which is huge. I mean, reward that coach. He's one of the greatest coaches to ever put on a headset in the NFL. Their defense is great. They solidified, you know, their line a little bit with Chris Jones, giving him an extension, which is awesome. He deserves it. Their only weakness I see is their corners, you know, and their secondary, besides Tyrann Mathieu, of course. But, I mean, their corners are pretty weak. They're in a division where like they can afford to have a little bit of weak corners because I don't think any of those quarterbacks truly scare me. You know, those pass offenses aren't that great. We'll see how Drew Lock does. He's the one that I'm kind of uncertain about because he can be like a boom or bust, I think. But I'll get to him in a second. But I have Chiefs at 13-3. We'll just keep it with the Broncos. I have them at 9-7. I think that, I think that they have a legit opportunity to secure a wild card spot, especially with another wild card spot opening up this year. You know, it's a young team that still has a great defense. You know, their pass rush is definitely their strength. Von Miller is still really nice. You know, Bradley Chubb coming back from an injury, which is great. You know, it's still a lockdown defense. But the offense is the interesting thing, because, I mean, I think they're going to have a running back committee that, you know, is a little bit underrated. Phillip Lindsay was the guy for a while, splitting time with Royce Freeman here and there. But now you add Melvin Gordon, you know, and, you know, it's kind of that constant flow of running backs rotating in and out. And I think that's the perfect, like, that's the perfect trio for that. If they want to utilize it correctly. And of course, you know, they've got good receivers, you know, and Cortland Sutton, you know, and Hamler. And of course you add Jerry Jeudy. And I think if Jerry Jeudy plays like the first round talent he is, I mean, he could move his way up the depth chart and be the best guy on that team. I mean, I would not be surprised if he goes over 1,000 yards, but it really depends on Drew Lock, man. He has the ability to make some big plays. And
Font too.
And I Font, like, yeah. I mean,
Font is great as well. And, you know, I saw actually when I was doing some research on them, Drew Lock is the quarterback who basically got out of the most sacks in the NFL last year. All, like, he basically can make negative plays and turning them into positive plays. So, I mean, their offensive line was doo-doo last year, and, you know, they upgraded a little bit here. But, I mean, if they can keep him healthy and you know,
right,
keep the pocket clean, then I think the sky's the limit for them, especially as a young team.
I think that would be my issue, that they're a young team. They're a bunch of young guys coming into their second year in this weird offseason where you need that. I think the talent's there, though, to kind of go to your point. I think that on paper, I love where they're at as a franchise, but that it's a good mix of veteran defense and a young, exciting, athletic offense. And I just want, before you go to the Chargers and Raiders, you were correct. The Patriots won in 04 and 05, but it was the 03-04 season.
Gotcha. Won in 04-05.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right.
So we'll both take the W on that one. There we go. Sure. I had to let you know that that's your statement. Thank you. False. Yeah.
Awesome. Moving on to the Chargers. You know, they had a horrendous season last year. I'm going to give them 8-8 though. I think that they have an opportunity to make the playoffs, but I mean, it's one of those things where they really have to outperform, like really outperform themselves. They have to ball out. And obviously the Derwin James injury that just happened sucks.
It's brutal.
He's one of the most dynamic
depth there though.
He's one of the most dynamic players though on that defense. You know, he transcends a defensive unit. I mean, he's a baller through and throughout. Obviously the Joey Bosa extension's great. You know, the restructuring of Melvin Ingram's contract is great, guaranteeing him $14 million this season, which is awesome. I mean, get those guys on the field. You know, it's one of the most elite pass rushing duos that there is in the game. But I don't think the issue is the defense this year. The defense is really strong. I mean, they've got, you know, if not the best secondary in the game, you know, they've got some electric corners and they've got a good secondary. I would love to sign Earl Thomas. And I think that would really help out, you know, get a veteran presence out there who can take over for Derwin James. But the offense is the big question mark, because obviously you drafted a rookie quarterback and they named Tyrod Taylor the starter today, so he's going to start game one. We'll see how long it lasts, but you know, Tyrod's been in the playoffs before and I think he's a good game manager, doesn't turn the ball over a lot, but I mean, he's not going to put up like 300 yard consistent games. You know, he's just going to manage the game. I don't even know if he's going to pass the ball more than 20 times a game. You know, he's one of those guys where you really have to kind of just manage the game correctly. And I'm a little worried just because of the fact that Austin Eckler's a great running back, but I don't know if he's the guy that you want to feed the ball 25
times. He's not a ground and pound running back. That's not where he excels the most.
Yeah, exactly. That's a problem.
And a guy, it doesn't match the Tyrod Taylor style. So, I mean, if Tyrod Taylor's going to be your starting quarterback, then you need a guy who's going to ground and pound, run the ball 25 times. So, maybe one of those guys behind Eckler steps up.
Does Jackson get a lot more carries this year?
I think he gets a lot more carries, but they also drafted a guy at UCLA named Joshua Kelly, who I'm interested in as well.
Yeah, I think
he might get some
another radar pick. I think the bigger issue, Nick, you could tell me how you feel about it, is the biggest issue I'm having with the Chargers. Yeah, the Derwin James is as far as a player goes. Yeah, he's the best player they've lost so far. You know, he's the only guy they've lost so far, and it sucks. But the Mike Williams injury, like he's hurt already going into the season.
I know. It's
and
it's,
that's like a problem.
It's tough. He's never been able to stay healthy. And obviously you still got Keenan Allen. He's one of the most electric guys in the NFL. But
you need a guy taking pressure.
How many targets is he gonna get? You know what I mean? I don't know if he's gonna get that many targets. And besides Keenan, I'm not really loving the rest of the guys.
Right.
They drafted, you know, a couple of guys, you know, out of the draft this year that I don't think they're going to dazzle me, but
right.
I think the other issue that I see though is the left tackle position. There's a big hole there. You know, they added some big guys in the O-line, but they didn't complete the O-line, right? They added Trey Turner at guard, they added Brian Bulaga, you know, they've got Pouncey, but on the left side of the line, you know, you got Sam Tevi, who's going to be trying to protect a quarterback, and like, I'm not sure if that's going to happen, especially in a division where pass rushers are pretty beastly. But yeah, I mean, 8-8, I think would be a successful season. We'll see if they can make a push, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they fall.
Yeah.
A little bit harder than that.
When Tyrod Taylor is put into third down positions that are past 5 yards, that's a really tough place to be in when you only have Keenan Allen, really. When Mike Williams isn't on the field.
Hunter Henry. Hopefully Hunter Henry, if he's healthy, that's huge.
Yeah. But you just, where Tyrod Taylor's legs come into play is when you're 3rd and 3, right? And that 3-yard run to get the first down is a heck of a lot easier than a 7-yard, 8-yard, 10-yard run, right?
I really think that they're going to emphasize the run a lot this year. And I'm just really curious to see how it's going to play out with Eckler. I really do think those are the guys who need a lot of opportunities. Anthony Lynn's a running back coach by trade. You know, he was a running back in his day as a player. And, you know, he really, when he came in, he put a big emphasis on the run, tried to take, you know, some of the load off of Phillip Rivers. But obviously Melvin Gordon's gone now. So, you know, other guys have to step up. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's a big question mark. It's one of the teams, I think, with the biggest question marks.
I think one thing I'll be watching very closely is just kind of like the style, the different types of ways they get Eckler the ball. And I want to see them continue to be versatile in that regard rather than just lining him behind the QB and giving him the rock. Like, he needs to be involved in the passing game. They need to throw other guys in there to hide him sometimes in the best way they can, because if people are locked in on Eckler, like, who knows? He's never been like the primary guy outside of last year. And so, you know, his name has really risen, right? And people are watching him a lot closely now. Defenses will be schemed against him now. Right. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what that little tête-à-tête that Lynn has.
I'm a big fan of his. I mean, he got shredded this offseason. If you've seen the pictures,
he's a beast.
He's
a beast.
He's like the definition of a muscle hamster. I mean, the guy is ridiculous. I mean, great guy to have in the locker room too. I mean, I've listened to a bunch of interviews of his. Yeah. Hopefully he comes on the show one day. We've asked a couple times. So we'll see what happens.
Pray.
All right, take us to the Raiders then, Nick.
Yeah, Raiders. Another interesting team, another really young team. I do think they improve a little bit. I think they go 7-9. Okay. I don't think this division is going to be a division where, like, there's one really shitty team. I think it's going to be a very wide-open division besides, obviously, the Chiefs up top. But the Raiders are interesting because, obviously, they've got Jon Gruden, you know, coaching there. And you always got to think that he's got something up his sleeve. But they go out and get Henry Ruggs. They have – I think their strongest part of their team is their pass catchers. I mean, Henry Ruggs there. You know, Terrell Williams just got hurt, but I mean, they still got Hunter Renfro, and they bring in Zay Jones, and they bring in Nelson Aguilar. So, I mean, there's a bunch of guys there that
D Wall, baby.
Yeah, and of course Darren Waller, my guy Darren Waller, of course, who you guys stole from me in the draft this year. But I mean, yeah, I think it's an exciting year because Derek Carr really hasn't been put in that position yet to have guys like that. I mean, he's had guys here and there like Amari Cooper. But he hasn't had an abundance of pass catchers where he can kind of just, you know, pick a guy at any part of the field and like they're there, you know what I mean? So hopefully Henry Ruggs has a big season. I really want him to live up to the hype.
He's sick.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a Tyreek Hill 2.0 type guy, or even like a DeSean Jackson. We'll see what happens. But not sold on their defense. I think the defense is probably their weakest part of the team, and which is going to be tough because obviously they're in a division with the Chiefs. So they probably will go 0-2 against the Chiefs.
That's the whole thing, though. It just sucks. It's like other teams, when the Patriots were at their peak, the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bills started the season off 0-2. So the Raiders, the Broncos, and the Chargers, in my opinion, are starting the season off at 0-2. The Chiefs are that good.
I think the Chiefs lose maybe one division game.
I'll bet you.
It's gonna be maybe to the Broncos, if I had to guess.
I'll throw down a bet right now.
They don't drop a game.
Yeah,
in the division. Well, I have to look.
I agree with you, Nick. The place where I think it would happen would be, take it to Mile High, and Denver. I don't know when they play Denver at Denver, but I think,
probably at the end of the year. There's always like some pretty important division games at the end of the year.
But, yeah,
they close out against the Chargers, and the only way I see them losing a game in the division is if they've locked in the one seed. They're not going for
it. They're still playing for it.
They're not going for 16-0, and they're sitting Mahomes. If they sit Mahomes, then I see them losing the game.
We'll see. But back to the Raiders. It's going to be
Vegas, baby.
Vegas.
They're going to want to overperform, obviously, because, they're in a new city. But the other aspect is there's no fans there, so there's not a ton of pressure to really, get it done like there would have been if it was a completely normal season with fans there in a brand-new stadium. Really excited to see Josh Jacobs play for a second season. He was really impressive last year. I think he's a guy that a lot of people have a lot of confidence in. I think this is a fun division. I don't think this is an amazing division in terms of like talent wise. I mean, I think a lot of people are overhyping it, but I do see two playoff teams.
Do you guys think
seven-team playoffs? Wow.
This is a Raiders team. For Gruden, this is a very important year. I mean, this is year four, isn't it?
I think it's year three. But this to me is this your quarterback year?
For sure.
This your quarterback.
So you think he's safe no matter what, and if he's so he gets another.
Oh yeah,
he's chilling.
Gruden's fine.
Yeah,
now he's chilling.
I think no one's going to be happy if they're 7-9, they're not going to be happy. They're not going to be happy. I think Jacobs.
That's the franchise.
I think Jacobs is going to be an absolute beast, and they're going to use him as a workhorse this year. It's going to
watch
be
Brian
even
Brian
more so.
As well.
It's going to be even more so than last year. He's going to get more carries.
Jacobs is going to be sick.
Yeah,
Jacobs is going to be dirty.
If the Raiders, let's say the Raiders fall like to, I think look if they win in the first eight games or the first six games, if they win only two games in the first six games. Or let's say if they win two games in the first eight games, right?
They're 2-6.
They're 2-6. Mariota's coming in.
Yeah.
I think you got to give him a shot,
For sure.
100%. They're 2-6 for sure. Yeah. Watch Bryan Edwards, though, rookie. I like him. Cool. We'll go to the South. I'll kick us off with Colts. I think the Colts – again, it's like I just don't know what to expect. I think people are drafting John Taylor high in fantasy, and I think rightfully so. I think he's going to usurp Marlon Mack in the run game, but they do have two strong running backs there. The defensive backfield leaves a little bit to be desired. Malik Hooker obviously is rather injury prone. I think the offense from a receiver standpoint, T.Y., again, excellent talent, injury prone. Michael Pittman's a rookie. Paris Campbell's only in his second year. That offensive line is one of the best in the league, probably top three. They have a very strong front seven. They bring on DeForest Buckner. Obviously, Darius Leonard is a stud in his own right. I just think there's like too many. There's just not enough like elite talent on the defensive side of the football, and in the playmaking game, at least of age, right? A lot of the guys are young. To really compete with Tennessee and Houston. I think they're still a step behind. I think the games will be close. I just think they're a step behind Tennessee and Houston. And I have Indianapolis at 6-10.
Ooh, I don't know about that.
6-10. Wow.
I don't know. I don't know. I think the defense is good. I think
Frank Reich's a great coach. It's nothing against them. It's like I think the other team, look, they play. Fortunately, they played the Jags twice. Who absolutely suck. The Jags are one of the worst teams on paper I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, they're really bad.
They're terrible.
And you know what? I think they may win one or two games, and I think they've depleted the roster. Yeah, they're tanking, but they've depleted the roster so much and to such a point that when you bring in a rookie quarterback, and we've said this on the show time and time again, look at the Jets. The Jets bring in Darnold. They weren't ready for a quarterback, clearly. They thought they were. They weren't. And now he's floundering. You have to be – your franchise has to – unless you're sitting at the top, and again, like this is a situation where Trevor Lawrence is a no-brainer, but your franchise has to be ready, though. And Trevor Lawrence, as good as he is, could come in, and there's not a good offensive line. The receivers are eh. There's no running back there. Right. Or they have to spend an early pick on a running back because they don't have a playmaker around him. They have to spend an early pick on a wide receiver because they don't have a playmaker around him. And the offensive line suffers and the defense isn't good enough to really keep them in games because they do have some talent, but it's there are some holes on it. We don't know how CJ Henderson's going to be as a rookie. Right. We know Josh Allen's excellent, but Miles Jack is up and down. They've depleted that roster so much to a point that is there enough talent around Trevor Lawrence so in his formative years he's a strong player?
Well, I mean, I think I fall in line with a lot of the rest of America in this sentiment that I want Gardner Minshew to win them 5 games this season. Like, I want that to be the case, that he can actually do that. And who knows if he actually can or not, but it seems like they put their chips on him. I mean, they let Fournette walk. They're ready to see what he
and I don't think anyone can succeed with that team.
In a division where the other teams are like not that great, I don't know. I mean, I think they could take a game from the Colts. I think they could do that. I think if the Texans at the end of a game, you have Deshaun Watson, and that bodes very well for you. And you have provided him with some decent weapons, right? Like Cooks, Josh, you've always liked Cooks. You know, now he has Cobb, who's kind of a security blanket, and maybe if Fuller can stay healthy this year, like, you've got David Johnson. Let's see how he bounces back on a new team. I mean, let's not forget what he was 3 years ago, at least from a pass-catching back standpoint. Like, he can be worked into the offense and find some success. But I think there are those games where the Texans just disappear and they lose. They've lost games to teams that are, quote-unquote, the worst team in football before. And, like, I don't think that any of these teams – I think the Titans are, like, a sure bet where they're not going to drop a game to the Jags. But those other two teams could easily drop one game to the Jags, even as bad as the Jags are, because I just don't trust them. They're just going to be so inconsistent. I mean, this division is just, like, I will not be watching it very much. I will not be watching it very closely because I'm not
– Bill O'Brien drops a game to the Jaguars, I mean. That's like Charlie Strong almost dropping – it's almost like Charlie Strong dropping a game to the Kansas
– Which happened.
I was gonna.
But it's that bad that he should be fired.
Yeah, I think that Bill O'Brien's gonna coach for his job this year.
Oh yeah.
No, I'm seriously. I mean, like, obviously, if they miss the playoffs, he's done. But I even think that if they make the playoffs and they don't get to like the divisional round, then they're done.
Well, they're gonna make the playoffs. They always find their way into the playoffs, right? Isn't that like?
Yeah. No. Trust me. I know. They're gonna make the playoffs. But I'm saying that even if he makes the playoffs, he's still not safe.
The Pacers situation, like the Pacers, like.
Yeah, basketball is different, though. I think
I'm saying, like, but no, I'm agreeing with you. Like, the Pacers got there year after year, and like McMillan couldn't get it done, so they axed him.
I think
Bill O'Brien can't get it done.
I think the Texans finish 11-5.
Really?
And yeah, I think they're good. I think they're legit. I mean, JJ Watt's gonna be fully healthy. They've got a great defense there.
You do like a crazy parlay, Nick.
What?
I think the Texans are gonna finish under, and I think the Chiefs go undefeated in the division. Under 11 wins.
I don't even know how to like value
compute
that.
Me
neither.
We'll work it out.
You can't do future.
I'm of the impression that
maybe we can.
That the AFC South is going to turn out similar to what it looked like last year, where everyone is gunning for that. Like, everyone is gunning for that 9-7 to win the division record. I think these teams just aren't that good.
I have low hopes. What do you think about the Titans, Toss? Where do you have them?
I mean, I think they're going to win the division, but I don't think that I'm not going to be like super excited about them going into the playoffs. I just think that they don't play themselves out of games very often, where some of these other teams do. They're going to be low mistakes. They're going to hammer the rock with Derrick Henry every single game. Tannehill's going to throw less than 25 times every single game. Like, he's got good weapons. A.J. Brown is a beast. We all love him. I think Jonnu Smith is a decent tight end. Corey Davis is fine as your two. Like, I just, like, their defense is very solid. Like, I don't think they play tremendously outside of their division, but they do beat up on their own division. I think they just take care of business, and then they get tested by teams that are good outside their division. And do they have the firepower to beat those teams with 3 minutes left on the clock? I think most teams know they don't.
Yeah, agreed. But I think they can go 5-1. Last year. That's true, though, Nick. They did in the playoffs last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, real quick, AFC Championship game. Nick, who you got?
Steelers Chiefs.
Wow. Toss, who you got?
I think Chiefs. Chiefs Ravens.
I'm gonna go Chiefs Ravens as well, but I like that Steelers.
I like the Steelers pick too, Nick. I hope
we all think,
I hope Lamar takes that next step, and then it's a and I would I also want to see Lamar versus Pat in that game and just a showdown.
I think they're going back to back,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. I'm not against it. I think they're taking it all the way again. Yeah.
I think he's gonna Michael Jordan this thing.
Is it weirder if Pat Mahomes, what's weirder? Is it weirder if they get knocked out in the first round than if they, or in the second round than if he wins again? It feels like it would be weirder.
Yeah, it's way more weird if he gets knocked out.
I'd be more shocked if he got knocked out than if he'd won.
Which is wild. Sure. Which is how much of a legend this guy already is. It's crazy.
I think their team is just so far ahead of any other team.
Yeah, agreed.
It's a video game.
They're just so much more far ahead than any other team in the whole entire AFC that it would really surprise me if they did not make the playoffs.
And everything that was there last year is still there. And so what has changed? Why should they not be the team that's going to win the Super Bowl? There's no reason. Right?
They're dangerous as all hell.
Yeah, they're amazing. All right.
All right, well.
That shakes down the AFC.
AFC.
Now we got the NFC coming up next sode.
Next sode. Yeah. Let's do it. Also, OPA seasonings. Guys, go to opafoods.com. Get all the seasonings. Nick has joined the bandwagon, has been eating the seasonings raw, like Toss and myself.
Yes.
And he's been loving it.
The charity stripe is the promo code, 10% off. opafoods.com. That's not .net. opafoods.com. To go get your OPA seasonings. And we also are brought to you by Bet Online, which you can go to Bet Online and create an account, and you will get a free deposit that you can then use on a variety of different bets. They've got their 24-hour online casino. You cannot make the parlay that Josh threw out earlier. It's not possible. You won't find it there. But there are a bunch of
scared.
There's a lot of fun player props. I think that'll be an exciting thing to bet on going into the NFL season. Great spreads, great parlays to put down and potentially win some money. So head to betonline.ag and check things out. Yeah, those are our two sponsors. And also Manscaped. No, just kidding. But also Johnson & Johnson. Because Gold Bond left us at the...
Seriously, though, fuck. Honestly, Manscaped, I still use their products. Fuck Gold Bond.
Gold Bond, I'm so bummed about it. Yeah. But I do use Johnson & Johnson. I know Nick uses Johnson & Johnson. He's a Johnson & Johnson guy. And it's great.
We actually have options here. We've got Monkey Butt, Anti-Monkey Butt, and we've got... Johnson & Johnson, so.
I'm team Monkey Butt now. Fuck it.
That's a great.
Which one of you guys?
That's
wanna,
a great brand name.
Monkey Butt. I want to be team Baboon, Monkey Butt, Raw
team,
Booty.
Team Monkey Butt.
Anti-Monkey Butt.
All right, fans out there, drag both in and bounce, swing on a full count, rip that puck, hit that putt, at your PKs because they free need your free throws. Why, guys?
Because they're Froy.
So, Froy, we out ya. We love ya.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in Bellicose? Yes! High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
loaded. Two out.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.